Staples, of course, you're hearing also Pops Staples on guitar in the background with A Devil on the Loose. And there is a devil on the loose, and he was first sighted for purposes of our discussion today in the city of Minneapolis. Last Friday, the city of Minneapolis approved a $1,181,500 budget to hire a team of specialists. And these specialists are called influencers. Influencers. And they were to start this week, coinciding with the trial of Derek Coven, charged in the controversial knee on the neck killing of George Floyd on May the 25th, 2020. But yesterday, on the eve of the trial, word went out about this influencer squad, and it caused a public relations nightmare. The city shut down the idea even before launch. Though short-lived in Minneapolis, the idea may have new life or new versions popping up elsewhere. So we're going to look at this development, discussing its possible wide-ranging effects, this program, what it is about. We're going to talk about the possible effects on the criminal justice system, its implications for trial integrity, and the conflicts and contradictions that inevitably will arise. Imagine that. What are these influencers supposed to do? It's an amazing thing that nobody thought, even as it was being presented, there was something kind of strange and sinister about this, and that it was just not going to go well. Under the program, which targets, and I'm being very explicit here, it targets Black, Native American, Hmong, that's Southeast Asian people, Somali, and Latino communities in Minneapolis. And what is it supposed to do? Well, it is supposed to, quote, counteract misinformation that might arise during the trial. You believe that? Propaganda in your face. And it is clear what this is about. To chill out the people, the local folk, who are likely to make noise, who are likely to object to something. Black, Native American, Hmong, Somali, and Latino communities. What does that say? It says it's targeted at these groups. But why? Why not across the board? Why these particular groups have to be targeted by influencers to get the right message across? And I mean, it's so racist in so many ways. You could lose count here. Is somebody trying to say that of all the people, all the ethnic groups in Minneapolis, just about everybody would get what is happening in the court, except Blacks, Native Americans, Hmong, Somali, and Latinos. They need special attention. They need to be given special information to chill them out. This is outrageous. So they scrapped the program in the span of one day, despite the fact that there's still weeping and gnashing of teeth because it was so well-intentioned. It was intended that by reaching out to certain groups, the same groups I just named, they will be able to give them the correct information about the case as it develops. And they're not worried about whites. Whites will get the issue, the issues raised in the case like that. They're highly intelligent people. But these groups, they need assistance because their brains just can't handle information in a trial. Those Blacks and Native Americans and Hmongs and Somalis and Latinos, they require special treatment because they're likely to misread everything. They're likely to come to the wrong conclusion. And so the city council decided it would be a good idea to hire this group of influencers. You know, that's the term that is used now in the world of technology about people who have unusually high profiles, the purpose of which is to influence the thinking of others. For example, you have people who are influencers in the field of, say, politics. And they get paid a lot of money to, in turn, influence other people, get them to think like them. Well, or that's well and good if you're selling a product, but maybe it's true, they are selling a product, and it's called misinformation. And this shows the kind of aggression that we're seeing in places where we can't even begin to think that we should expect it to be there. In the courts, in the criminal justice system. We will now control information to such a degree that we will have a group of people who will be instructed on what to say to the public, whether it's true or not, whether it's accurate or not. Tell the public. And by the public, I mean specific groups that have been identified as troublesome or potentially troublesome. You know, the ones who are likely to stage protests and to call for the firing of this one or that one, or to raise concerns about irregularities and trials and so forth, in which they have a very large interest. You target that group. And the purpose of these people who are influencers is to tell the public, but specifically these groups or any other group identified as a potentially difficult group to handle, a group that has to be brought in line, has to be controlled. You tell them what happened. They don't have the wherewithal to make sense of anything for themselves. They can't observe a trial and come to natural conclusions based on what they see, based on what they hear, based on evidence. They don't have the intelligence for that. So this is the plan. We will now tell you what to think. I mean, they went beyond the way media is now beginning to function. They went over the top on this one. We will have a group of people. We will tell that group what they are to report to the public. And whatever they report to the public is to be understood as the truth of a trial. Do you understand the enormity of this madness? So now, even if somebody stood a tenth of a chance of getting a fair trial, they smashed that right away. No, the trial that you're going to get is a trial we concoct for you. It is a trial that we design for you. Who cares about what truth is? Who cares about whether you're running roughshod over people's constitutional rights? Who cares if you're lying? What business do you have in interpreting for the public as if they're so stupid, we can't make sense of a courtroom trial. We can't hear testimony and come to conclusions about it. We have to be instructed. But this, I mean, this takes Eichmann and Adolf Hitler, I mean, makes them look silly. They didn't think things through. To completely massage the brains of all the people in the country about how they are to see things, how they are to consider things, what is important, what is not, what is real, what is not. This is where the folks in Minneapolis had intended to launch this initiative so that they control everything from soup to nuts. And by everything, I mean the thinking and therefore the actions of the people. You have a secret squad somewhere in a room. Somebody gives them the statement of the hour, the news of the hour. It happens now in a certain way in the newsrooms of America, where reporters aren't allowed to think. Or whatever it is they're thinking is not the right way to think as far as management is concerned. There's only one way to cover a story, and it must have these elements, A, B, C, D, and E. If it doesn't have these elements, that's not a legitimate story. Nobody should pay it any mind. But when you have influencers, that puts even more power in the hands of management, the management of information. And in this case, as we could see, this was a, and still is, an explosive case. Explosive. And yet, the correct response by the city is not just let the trial occur, and we will see what comes out at trial. No, it has to be managed. We have to know in advance what is going to be said, what are the main points. And then it has that ripple effect where whatever is disseminated among the influencers ends up in public domain. And that is the story of the day, whether it in fact is true or not. That's immaterial. The city sees this as an essential service that it needs to protect itself. Because by controlling information, they are in fact controlling reality. And they have seen in Minneapolis, they can't leave people to themselves to make up their own minds about anything. They're likely to come to the wrong conclusions. They're likely to be completely inept and unable to decipher what is important and what is not, what is true and what is not. So we give them the pointers that we consider important. And when they incorporate these pointers, they're doing a good job because they're telling, quote, our side of the story, unquote. But you may ask, well, wait a minute. Aren't you interfering with the criminal justice process? Aren't you interfering with the course of a trial? Aren't you inserting yourself where you have no business? Aren't you manufacturing a reality that possibly does not exist in real life? All to put a damper on any possibility that people may be dissatisfied with what they are actually experiencing in that court, and they mobilize and take to the streets to assure a free and fair trial. In fact, dare we hope, with this method being enacted, dare we hope that it is possible to have a free and fair trial with influencers doing their job? What is this? What stage of authoritarianism have we reached here? This is clearly the intention of the city, or I should say the state apparatus, to utterly and completely control information about what is unfolding in a court of law. Where does that leave us? Where does that leave the process? We'll take this little break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the role, the newly emerging role of people called influencers in the criminal justice system, where the city apparatus decides what is to be known about a trial. Who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? What is at issue? Although none of it may be real, but the role of these people is to create that reality. They create a reality that isn't necessarily real. And now we have to ask questions about, are there instances in which influencers across this nation are already at work undermining the judicial process this way, by being instructed what to say happened in a court of law, and that that becomes the official word on the case, and then the media will be obligated to cover that as the official story, and it gets worse from there. 888-874-4888. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, you tree fire.
Okay, Ed, how is Bayou?
We're here. A little chilly, but hanging by my thumbs, as I always say.
You know what you need? You need an influencer.
Believe me, there are enough influencers out here and have been out here for many years. This is just a new incarnation of them. I don't know why you're so surprised. I can remember the Central Park Five case on the other side of the coin. I can remember Donald Trump taking out a full-page ad calling for the death penalty.
Yes.
I can remember Wolfpack. I can remember all of these people. People have preconceived notions of the trial before it even took place. And I don't know how the trial could be conducted, because once the media got a hold of this idea and put it out as wolf packs and the city is in decay, and there are young groups of men running around attacking people, and it turned out to be all a lie. So this is just the latest incarnation of a failed state. Now they're doing it directly. They want to control the social media, because now you can create your own media bubble. You can lock yourself into a world where you only get, with different apps and different computer programs, you only get the news you want to hear. So there isn't any room for any real bias or any real objective viewpoint or any real reporting. Whatever the flavor is, we'll report it and we'll tell it to you. And the city was just, I'm not agreeing with it, but the city was just doing what anybody logically would do who wants to control an outcome. They're buying the media. They're buying their own reality creators, as you said. And that's what's going to happen. That's why we've got to stay vigilant, because this is what's happening. Now there are so many media outlets that reality can be conformed to whatever style you want. And there is no more objectivity in reporting. There is no more news in news. If it bleeds, it leads. Takes precedent over everything now. We're in a new age. And you've got to stay vigilant, and you've got to stay self-informed. You cannot fall into these little cracks and crevices, these rabbit holes that are being created you have to use your intellect. People have to be reeducated. You have to learn how to think. Because if you don't know how to think now, you're subject to anything.
But doesn't that, your argument kind of relieves the responsibility of the media outlets themselves? Their job should be to be the first to raise this alarm that this is what the apparatus, the city apparatus, is planning to do and wants us to do, and in fact compels us to do.
This is capitalism. This is the reduction of everything in society to dollars and cents. I can buy somebody to tell you what I want you to think. I can buy somebody to shape the reality, to make you do what I want you to do. It's Madison Avenue on steroids. And it's everywhere now. the media has usurped their responsibility. I was saying that when Trump was running for office, they had a podium on CNN, and they were flashing back and forth to the podium. Trump hadn't even showed up yet, and they were flashing back and forth to the podium. Media has abrogated its responsibility to true journalism. You got to do it on your own now. I'm sorry. I don't trust anything I read. It was a long time ago when I was in the military. I knew a guy, a Russian guy. He would tell you how you read the newspaper upside down, backwards, forwards, and in between, because that's how Pravda was written. That's how you got to read everything now. You got to look at everything with a third and a fourth and a fifth eye. And if you're lazy, you're going to get fooled.
But let's look at the implications here. Okay, so it was caught in time. Voices were raised. They scuttled the program. That doesn't mean it's the end of the program. And that doesn't mean it's the only place where this program is likely to surface. How do we, the people, what do we do about this kind of blatant encroachment on what we used to call people's constitutional rights, to the right to know the truth, being as basic as you could get? We have reporters, they train, they can cover a trial, they know who said what, and they could bring these things to our attention. Why do we need to have the intervention, and why should we tolerate it?
Well, first of all, we shouldn't tolerate it because of what you just said. It isn't correct. It's unconstitutional. It's against your civil rights. It's against your rights as an individual to have your story or have the truth put out there. But we abrogated our authority. We've allowed the corporate machine to create media news. You were talking about this last year when they wanted to ban Farrakhan, when they wanted to ban the other guy, what's his name? I forget the crazy. He's the crazy man. I can't recall his name right now. But they banned him from social media. I can't remember his name right now. They banned him from social media, and you had a show pertaining to that and how that affects journalism and how that affects how we proceed. We fell into it. They took Trump off. I didn't agree with Trump, but they took him off on social media. There's a lot of things that I don't agree with, but everybody should have the open forum to say their ideas and present them before a forum. When you start to ban things, when you start to control things, you go down a slippery slope of spin doctors and propagandists. And this is just the first manifestation. You think this is the only thing that they're going to do to influence this trial? You think after all of the outrage that was shown by the murder of George Floyd, they're not going to try to put a spin on this thing? They're not going to use the Americans have very short memories. And they don't think they're going to use that, how they delay the trial, how they delay the process, so the story changes slightly. I mean, look at Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was a clown. Now he's venerated. You got to look at this. This is what these people do. This is what the powers that be do. Time passes. People don't pay attention. People aren't educated and don't look at all of the facts. You got to stay on point, or else you're going to get fooled. That's the only thing you can do now, because the media is a joke. If it bleeds, it leads, and that's all they care about.
Thank you for getting us started today and with such profound thoughts. Thank you. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice, and good afternoon to the PRN audience.
Thank you, Patricia. Good afternoon to you, too.
Utrice, you keep referring to journalists and journalism. And I maintain that we no longer have independent journalism. What we have are people who read scripts that have been written for them by the people who own corporate America, who want us to have the narrative that they want us to have. You no longer have individuals who actually engage in critical analysis and come up with a conclusion. We don't have that anymore, which is one of the reasons I don't read the newspapers. I don't look at the news because it is not designed for us to be informed. It is designed for us to take us in the direction that they want us to go. So what you now have are personalities, and let's face it, the personalities are dependent upon how you look, how young you are. There's a type, and that is mistaken for journalism, but that's not journalism.
Do you sense that this, if it weren't caught at the moment it was caught, that it would have taken off like wildfire and it would be all over the country as par for the course in how a DA's office is responding to the need for information by the public?
But here again, when you want a specific outcome, you design the narrative so that folks read the conclusion that you want them to reach. Here again, not independent. The information that is presented as news these days is designed to take you down a specific path. You know, look at all the documentaries that are coming out now. Judas and the Messiah, talking about all the information that we've been fed over the years about the Black Panther Party that people are now dispelling. The documentary, around the singer. I can't call her name right now. But again, over 50 years ago, people were fed this information that is now being dispelled, and people believed it. People believed it. People who did not engage in independent analysis of fact. So, you know, it's different. Now, everyone has a responsibility to read and to think and to come to conclusions on their own. And that's what's missing. You know, there's a Chinese philosopher that says, the first art of warfare is controlling the information. So anytime you have a coup, what's the first thing that they do? They cut off the airwaves, no radio. They shut down the newspapers until they can control it.
Does it surprise you, though, just the same, does it surprise you that they made this move?
And no, it doesn't.
Again, if it weren't for the fact that there were people who were alert to it and who brought it to broader attention, we would probably never know that the criminal justice system is now infested with influencers.
Well, now, I'm not really quite sure why we should not recognize that the criminal justice system is replete with influencers after watching what occurred on January 6th. All of those individuals who were engaged in law enforcement, either not only law enforcement, but with military backgrounds. You see, this country is literally imploding from within. And it's really where I maintain and contend that we are teeter-tottering on the verge of a civil war. It's black against white. It's truth against fiction. And everyone's going to have to figure out where they lie and on which side they're going to come down on.
I have a very strong suspicion that you are right. It's been heading in this direction for quite some time. I mean, I have seen it. I saw a New York Times reporter. This is in Moscow. At that time, several members of the U.S. Senate were traveling on some mission to arrive at some kind of rapport with Gorbachev, and they called a news conference. So I was nearby. I said, let me go see. And at the end of the news conference, Sam Nunn physically handed the New York Times correspondent pages that were torn out of a yellow pad with scribbled notes on it. And he says, there's your story for tomorrow. I said, oh my God. Could it get any worse? I mean, could you call yourself a reporter when somebody does that to you and you go along for the ride? I guess his whole thing was, hey, I'm in Moscow. I'm a correspondent for the New York Times. I could grovel and keep my position here, which I love. So one hand does wash the other in some cases. Thank you so much for your call today. David from Brooklyn, what have you to say on the issue?
Yes, you know, I am not surprised at what happened in Minneapolis. And the fact of the matter is,
let me interrupt you for 1 second. There's a distortion on your line.
Distortion.
Oh, it sounds better now, but there was a distortion that we were getting.
How does it sound now?
Sounds fine.
Okay, yes. What I'm saying here is this is the norm in this United States of America. Now, in this case, it's particularly different because they've come out publicly and said what they said about the trial in Minneapolis. But there's no way that the ruling class who run the country would want it any other way. When I read the New York Times, and I must admit I subscribe to it, I have to get out my intelligence experience and my code book to read the New York Times. Because if you read it word for word and you take it in, you're going to be a dupe. You have to understand the code of what you see on print. So the ruling class, they control the media, I guess 99% of it. So it's not surprising that you're going to get conditions where everything is propaganda. When you have any kind of report on the major media, you have to look at the propaganda that you're listening to. And if people were not so well, as I say, not educated, but trained, they wouldn't be able to do the things, that is the ruling class, like keep a significant number of people in poverty and enrich themselves in terms of wealth and income as they do. So this is the absolute norm for corporate media, and don't expect anything else but mostly a little truth with a pound of propaganda for every ounce of truth that you see. So when Biden talks about things like he had to bomb somebody, or Trump talks about, you know, you just can't go at face value and look at that. You have to understand that most of this is propaganda. I've talked with propaganda people who are intelligence, who have written propaganda. So this is the norm. And the only difference with Minnesota is they publicly came out with this and it didn't go over very well. But propaganda is the norm rather than truth and justice.
Thank you. But you see, they already betrayed their purpose, because every group that they had these facilitators for, these persuaders to do, to control the information, every single one was not white. So what do they say?
Well, the point is the mistake they made, the mistake, and I underline that, is they made it so public. They made it so public. But this is the norm of those who rule and what they do to control the people, the masses of the people. So in that case, it's a big mistake to do what they did in terms of publicly saying they were doing this. But if they, you know, quietly did it, I guess it still would be in effect. So this is the norm in this country, and that's why we have the economic and social conditions for the mass of people who are below those who rule in the ruling class. And it's absolutely, positively necessary to maintain a good propaganda, and this is done all the time. The State Department is in touch with all the corporate media, the CIA, and this is the absolute norm.
I quite agree. Thank you so much for your contribution today. Mohammed from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, speak directly into your phone, please.
That's what I'm doing. I sincerely hope your health continue to improve. And I would just like to say good afternoon to all of our classmates, because I feel like I'm in a class with you and I'm learning so much. I'm going to try to be straight to the point and brief, and then hear some more from your other, my other classmates. Eutrice, this influencers that they set up, this was to try to control the thinking and justify an acquittal that they plan on having. The rest of the world saw what happened to George Floyd, and they was outraged by it, and they protested all over the world. So they anticipate, they say, well, if we don't convict him, it's going to be more press and a negative reaction. So that is to try to shortcut that in anticipation of an acquittal of that police officer. And they're trying to not only control behavior now, they're trying to control minds in the way you think. It's just amazing what these people are. But that's an empire in demise or in decline. And the rest of the world is watching.
Well, thank you. But let's get to the core of the issue here.
Yes.
What does this do to this much vaunted faith that we are supposed to have in the system, the criminal justice system? You get a free and fair trial, and now we are seeing active participation by the system itself in manipulating possibly even the outcome of a trial.
Well, what they anticipate is an acquittal, and they know that the American people are not going to accept it, nor is the rest of the world. So they're trying to justify it in advance by controlling the people's thinking and their interpretation of what's supposed to be justice. That's what they're trying to do. They're anticipating. So they don't want you to come to your conclusions. They want to explain it to you and for you if they give this guy acquittal. But the rest of the world saw what happened, and they were outraged by it. And I would like to listen now. I learned a great deal from you and your listeners, Professor Lee.
I used to be, you know. I used to be a professor once upon a time.
You're still teaching us.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for your input today. Lincoln, well, how are you?
Hey, Beatrice, I am persevering as usual.
Good for you.
Yes,
what do you think about this development of influencers and targeting particular communities because there is concern that these communities aren't smart enough to know what it is they're looking at.
I am not surprised, not one jot. And it has been the norm, but it's like a blackhead. It's under the skin, and now suddenly you see it pops up. And it's partly because of us, we the people, because we are selective to what we respond to. When the news media perpetrate lies that we like, we embrace it. And when it's things that's sensitive to us, then we are frightened, we are shocked. To piggyback on what you said about that fellow nun when you were in Russia, I actually shared this on Facebook several times. There was, and it's an exact story like the one you said about the guy, when the guy said, this is the story for tomorrow. I shared this on Facebook several times to disabuse people of a certain knowledge. There was this German journalist, and he said, before he died, he said, everything negative you read about Gaddafi, he said, I am the one who's responsible for it. And he said, this is how it goes. He said, myself and several journalists in Europe and the USA, we are on the CIA's payroll, and we write stories they give us to write. He said, the CIA came to me and handed me this package and say, this is what you write about Gaddafi. But when it comes from a journalist, we think, oh, this is valid. But he said it was all lies, and he was responsible for this. And I see, I shared this on Facebook several times, and people who want to have a negative view of Gaddafi, and when I was pointing out to them, especially those when I said to them it's Obama and Hillary who was responsible for killing Gaddafi, they didn't want to hear this. You see, they want to hear sweet lies, you know, just like the whole election thing. You know, look at when the judges refused to hear about the election fraud. But we didn't want to go into the court because we all hated Trump. You know, so we all hear what we want to hear. And then it comes back to bite us. In Jamaica, we have a saying, you spit in the sky and it falls in your face. And that's all that's happening. All the spit we threw up in the sky is falling on all our faces. And we are all guilty, all of us. You know, when they tell the lies about the wars, and we support them because the bombs are not dropping here. And, you know, we are responsible to you, Tris. We can't just point the finger at them.
Tell me, in your view, we have this new development. What should happen now?
What should happen is, it's like a disease. No matter how long, you see, when I say this, I'm not saying this to embrace any of this. I'm saying when we recognize.
I understand
the disease,
that. I understand that.
I'm responding to you. I'm responding to you. When we have a disease, then we have to try to correct it. We have to try to eradicate it. And that's what should happen. We, the people, etc., we should see to it, make these people become accountable. We should say, no, we got to stop this. Thing that's careening out of control. We need to put an end to it. We need to stop all this subjective behavior and all become very objective. Stop this knee-jerk reaction to everything. I hate this one. I hate that politician. Says, no, let's sit down and objectify on all the issues. Every issue, we need to sit down and objectify on them and say, let's seek for true justice. Justice. Not left or right. Justice. Justice is neither left nor right nor center. It's just plain straight up justice. Truth is truth. And that's what we all should get on that pathway of truth and enlightenment and justice and end.
Okay,
all this
I
madness.
Agree with you. I'm asking for specific instructions. Right now, we have a general understanding of what happened and what is happening. What should the methodology be here to correct this?
I think it probably should be similar to one like what was Maddox was trying to use with the Tawani Brawley case and the people who were protesting. I think we need some legal minds who are for truth, some politicians who are for truth, and activist people like ourselves who are concerned, and we should all congeal and say, okay, let's come together and put together a formula to correct this and to prevent it from occurring again. And we should we need to have the citizenry becoming more active in the judicial system. You can't just go to school and get a law degree and come out and try to say, okay, I'm going to delegate justice. Law school don't teach you about justice. Law school teach you how to win a case. And so we probably need to develop a new subject in the universities called justice, truth, enlightenment. That's probably what we need. I remember when I was in school in Jamaica, we used to have a course, and it was called intelligence. And you would take a test, and they would give you questions, and it was to test your ability to think, to analyze. We need more courses like that. And what, you know, and what I just said.
Well, thank you. Good to hear from you. Thanks a lot for calling in. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I thought it was important to raise because it's veering toward being systemic. Because it's not just in Minneapolis. This is how things may seem to start out, that it, you know, it's localized, it's concentrated in one area, and if you get that area under control, then you're in good shape. No, this is a pattern being set for future action by various other systems that feel a need to compete on equal or even greater levels than regular media. They have been persuaded that they can sway the public themselves. They don't need intercession. They don't need a middleman, as it were. They can do it themselves now. So they can market their truth. They can write their truth. They can facilitate the dissemination of their truth themselves. And that gives them even more power to control what we see and hear and read in the way of information. This is a very, very serious development. We know, I mean, we're not so naive as to think this is the first time this is happening. We know it's been going on for quite some time. But the fact that they have formalized it and that they have gotten the city council to fund it and they have the targeted groups who will be on the receiving end of this distorted material, it's an open confession that propaganda is journalism, and journalism is propaganda. The question is, what do we do about it? How do we challenge a system that sinks so low that, in fact, violates every concept we have of what a free and fair trial ought to be? And then you look at the groups they targeted. All of them are non-white groups. What is this fear that you have of people of color? That you're implementing specialized programs in order to distort the truth and in order to quote, win, unquote. We have some serious questions now to raise and to ponder. And certainly to insist that they be answered by the people who are prepared to enact them. We have some work to do. I quite agree. Thank you all for calling in and contributing. I consider myself the luckiest person in media because we have such intelligent callers and people who can get us, you know, to look at a thing for what it is. Thank you so much for maintaining that integrity. We'll see each other again tomorrow, same time. Bye-bye.